The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
I'm feeling a little bit guilty about the item we're about to do now because it's a warning about not getting your dog too hot in this excellent weather we're enjoying. And there's me having taken the dog for a 75-minute walk at lunchtime today. Karina Fitzsimons is from Dogs Trust. Good evening to you. How guilty should I be feeling about that?
Hi, Matt. Guilty. The middle of the day is the hottest part of the day on a warm day. So we're advising people to try and walk their dogs if they can at the beginning or end of the day when it's cooler out. Because dogs can't regulate their body temperature like people. So obviously we can, you know, wear shorts and t-shirts, but unfortunately dogs, they're under their coat and they don't sweat through their skin. So they can overheat really, really quickly. So the best thing to do, if you can at all, is walk them early morning late in the evening. And if it's
not always possible to get that into your work schedule for some people, though.
It's not, no, but what we say is if it's very warm outside, it's better to avoid walking your dog full stop than to risk your dog getting fatal heat stroke, because they're not going to die from not getting a walk. And there's lots of activities you can do in the home to keep them busy as well, just like people have been adapting to lockdown.
Okay. How can you judge whether it's too hot or not?
Well, the best thing really is if you pop your hand on the tarmac outside for about 7 seconds, and you can tell then if it's too hot for your dog's paws. But generally speaking, if it's warm enough for you to feel warm walking outside, it's going to be too warm for your dog. So we'd say if you are going for a walk, keep them shorter, bring plenty of water with you, little pop-up bowls. You can put some water in and stop, you know, for your dog to walk. And stop every so often and see, you know, do they want to turn around? Is it too much for them? Especially as they get older, dogs cope less well with the heat. And squishy-faced dogs or flat-faced dogs, such as pugs or French bulldogs, they can find it really difficult to breathe in the warmer weather.
Why is that?
Because of the shape of their face. They're called brachycephalic dogs, so their faces are quite squished, whereas like a collie is called a dolicephalic dog. So their nasal cavity is longer, and because dogs cool themselves by panting, they have a bigger area to cool themselves with compared to a smaller dog or a squishy-faced dog. And also those dogs' airways are usually compromised because they are bred for how they look and not their function on the inside, unfortunately.
Okay. What other signs of heat stroke should we look out for? I mean, is the most obvious one if the dog is panting excessively and needs water?
Yeah, and really red gums and tongue, or they're salivating really heavily. They can also get vomiting and diarrhea or lack of coordination, and sometimes they can pass out. The best thing
what
to do
you do in a situation like that? Do you bring them straight to the vet?
The best thing to do is to put your phone on speakerphone so your hands are free and get your vet on the other end of the phone, and they'll give you instructions, because the sooner you can cool your dog down, the better it is, and the quicker they have a chance of recovery. But you don't want to plunge your dog into ice cold water either. You want to do it speedily, but not too quickly that you'll cause shock. But the vet will give you all those instructions over the phone.
Over the phone, because it's the same as if we're going to the doctor or the dentist at the moment. There's probably all sorts of restrictions in place, are there, for visits to the vet?
Yeah, but they are seeing dogs in emergency. It's just, if you were to get in your car under normal circumstances with a dog with heat stroke and drive to the vet, there could be instructions that they could give you that you could actually start treatment at home in the house itself, and things to do in the car on your way to get there. So by the time you're there, your dog has cooled down a little bit.
Speaking of cars, this is a deadly time, isn't it, for dogs in cars if you don't have proper ventilation, having the windows open?
It is, and people seem to think that it's okay to park, you know, under a tree in some shade and crank down the window or open the sunroof, but that really has very little to do with keeping it colder inside a car. And if you've even sat in your own car, you know, if you've been in work and you get into the car at the end of the day just to switch on the ignition, the heat is oppressive. So imagine if you were sitting there with a big fur coat on. So it can actually be fatal, and the amount of people that leave dogs in cars, and they can do it mistakenly and just run into the shop for, you know, to grab something really quickly, and all it takes is the person in front of you in the queue for their card not to work, or a neighbour to start talking to you, and all of a sudden 2 or 3 minutes turns into, you know, 10 or 20 minutes. So it's just never safe to leave them in a car on a hot day at all.
And this is all worth remembering, because the temperatures are supposed to climb during the rest of the week, maybe 24 degrees by Thursday apparently as well, which is something really to look forward to. But a couple of other things just strike me while you're there, Karina, from Dogs Trust. Are you getting many people giving up dogs at this time of year, or is it because people are at home with their dogs now that they're giving them more time and attention and perhaps a bit more love?
We're actually seeing the people, they just can't get enough of dogs at the moment. So people are really valuing their companionship and the, you know, the fact that they are, you know, entertain us and keep us occupied. So we've actually seen a huge increase in people seeking to adopt a dog. But what we say is a dog is for life, not just for lockdown. And when you go back to your normal life, if you couldn't fit a dog into your normal life before this happened, you're definitely not going to be able to do it when you go back to work. So just to please consider that and not to rush out an impulse by a puppy.
And of course, the other thing as well is that the dogs are so happy at having the human company all the time. If people do start going back to work and to school and to college and all the rest of it, if they end up and left at home on their own again, that could be actually quite upsetting for them.
It is, and it's a huge potential dog welfare issue, because a lot of dogs who show separation anxiety keep the symptoms from when you're not actually there. So it's when you're gone that they show all these worrisome signs. They're constantly checking the window or howling or crying. And you're not going to know unless a neighbour tells you, or you set up a camera or video for when you're not there. So unless someone tells you this, your dog actually could be suffering and you don't even know about it. So what we're saying to people is, if you're working from home at the moment and you don't normally work from home, is to create some distance between yourself and your dog and give them some space to A, get enough sleep, and B, to learn that they do need to spend time on their own. And spending time on their own is a nice thing to do. So you can give them something like a long-lasting chew and just be in another room for a few hours a day. So when you do go back, it's not as if they've been with you 24/7, because unfortunately they will lose the ability to cope, and it will be awful for them when everyone returns to work.
We better leave it there. Carina Fitzsimons from Dogs Trust, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.